The student union is underwritten by Lutheran High School Association. Two schools, one mission. Become one of the thousands prepared for successful Christian leadership. The Lutheran High School Association, nurturing Christian hearts, building strong minds. LHSASTL.org. LHSASTL.org.
Bueller. Bueller. Bueller.
I'm serious when I say that. I gotta study. And I can't do it when you're distracting me every 2 seconds.
You understand what I'm saying?
The Student Union. This is your host, the Chancellor, Pastor Marcus Zill. We're coming to you live, well, almost live, on the beautiful, completely beautiful campus of LCMSU. Welcome, everyone. It is great to be back right here with you. Beautiful campus of LCMSU and in the Student Union. It's great to have you join us. Here's hoping this place is beginning to feel a little bit like home away from home now. We're going to forego checking the mail this week and get right to our interview.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, let me ask you first. Does college seem a little tough? A little scary? For those of you who are college bound, it doesn't have to seem like it's mission impossible.
Bad grades are meaningless. They're like parking tickets. I mean, they mean nothing. Just laugh, because they're silly.
All right, we're here with Pastor Ian Pacey. Pastor Pacey currently serves as associate pastor at Memorial Lutheran Church and School in Houston, Texas. Position he's been at for, I believe, about a year and a half or so. Before
that's
that,
right.
Pastor Pacey was the campus pastor at the University of Arizona. Good to have you with us, Pastor Pacey.
Hey, good to hear from you, Pastor Zill.
Hey, for all of our listeners, it's a little bit of a walk down memory lane here. Pastor Pacey had served as an associate coordinator along with Pastor Jay Winters down at University Lutheran Church and Student Center in Tallahassee, Florida. They both served as assistant coordinators for LCMSU back in the old days in 2012 and 13, maybe into 14. And Pastor Pacey and Pastor Winters and I came up with the LCMSU concept. Tell people a little bit of background about how the logo came to be. I've been pushing getting custom logos made up, and I think it might be kind of fun for people to hear how that logo came to be.
Well, as I recall, we were sitting down talking like on a Saturday morning or something like that. I was sitting at my dinner table, and the whole idea was we needed something that was, I mean, collegiate to the core. And so while we were talking, I was surfing on the internet in the background there and found the collegiate logo set, or pardon me, font set. And so looking at that and looking at some other things that were college related, that was the U. And as I recall, we were just saying, in addition to a collegiate U, you know, what else really just bleeds campus? And then we came up with the idea of the pennant. And so the pennant then is placed right across the U. And blue colors for the Missouri Synod, and green was the old group that you were involved with in the three parts of the Missouri Synod's
the witness, emphasis. Mercy, life,
exactly,
emphasis.
Exactly the point, yeah. And drawing that out on I think I used my kids' crayons and some of their sketch paper or something like that. Drew it up as we were talking, and then I sent you a picture of it, and you said, "Hey, that's what we're looking at. That's what we want."
And so, you know, sometimes people ask if the ESPNU logo had anything to do with this. Now,
we would never.
We ever. Would, of course, never. But I do remember, I noticed that a time or two, and that came up in the course of the conversation. I remember very fondly you and Pastor Winters and I sitting in St. Louis when Pastor Day, the Brent. Office of National Mission, brought us in, and we were brainstorming stuff, and we're drawing it on these big, huge whiteboards and all these various variations. I think it'd be kind of fun sometime to make up kind of a PDF pictorial of what the LCMSU logo might have looked like. I think it would be pretty illustrative. Because what was the one thing that we went back and forth on? Do you remember? There was one little detail of it that
it was the, was it on the pennant, a stick on the pennant?
I think it was a tail.
Oh yeah, the tails.
Are we going to have little tails on the on the side of the pennant or not?
Right. And,
I think we ultimately chose wisely because we wanted it to be a clean logo. But anyways, I'm sure all of our listeners are going, okay, this is totally boring.
it went through 20, didn't go through 20 versions before we arrived at the last one, which was the exact same as the first one.
It's pretty crazy. I was just looking back at these the other day and it's pretty wild. I think we chose wisely and
yes.
Anyways, well, the reason why we have you on today, Pastor Pacey, is not only due to your history with campus ministry. I know you bleed campus ministry as much as anyone, so much so that even though you're no longer directly doing it, you kind of still are in the sense that you have college students that are getting ready to head off to college, and you have kind of a unique program that you've done the last year or two to try to get them prepared. Before they head off. Tell us about that.
Well, this year, the church that I serve, Memorial Lutheran Church, will be sending 8 students off to one college or another. Some are going to junior college, some are going to a major university or a college or something like that. In addition to the 8, there are already 20 or so in the congregation that are currently attending college. So we have a real college presence here at Memorial. And the idea that is driving what we're doing here, first, the name of it is College Bound. I should just say that up front because that really gives you some insight into where we're going with this.
That's a name that we've talked about in terms of the things that we might develop. And so anyways, I think people will hear that name College Bound in the future a little bit.
Yeah, I think the name itself really does give insight into what it is. When I was growing up, the place that people would go was called Outward Bound. And that was a place where you go to, say, Utah or New Mexico or something like that, and they would teach you what you needed to survive in the wilderness. And so as I was searching around for a name for the idea, that immediately came to mind, this bound thing. Well, it turns out that 100 other people all call it the same thing, which is college bound. The idea here is you have students, seniors, juniors, around that age group, who are not yet in a position to know what it is they need to know when they're in college. And so as a way of assisting them, a way of preparing them to research colleges, and then, of course, in the end, to actually go to college, we put together this small program. I just do it on a weekend, seminar style, 2.5 hours. And we go through a series of topics. And the hope here is that we'll prepare them, or at least bring to their attention things that they should consider before they actually start at a university or a community college or something like that. That's the idea.
And what does the program look like? So you've got a couple of hours.
Yeah.
And I think the thing that we're envisioning in terms of LCMSU down the line might be more of a 20 to 24 hour retreat style. So you can do a little bit more, but give us an overview of what do you do when you have these college students, these future college students together?
Well, the first thing I do, and it may sound weird, is I try to break them from wanting to go to college. And I do it in this sense. What I say is right off the bat, okay, you're all here and you all say you want to go to college. Why is it that you want to go to college? Sometimes students just want to go to college because that's what you do. They haven't actually thought through what the goal would be there. Sometimes it's because that's where their parents went. The parents want them to go to college. Sometimes it's because they know if they want to do a certain kind of a job or have a certain kind of vocation, they have to go to college. But the idea here is to really get into the idea of why one would want to go to college. Because if it's just for money, there are plenty of vocations, plenty of opportunities out there. for earning a good living without actually having to go to college. And as we all know, because of what we've been seeing on the news and people that we know, if you go to college these days, you incur or could incur a huge debt.
Oh, my.
Not to mention the fact that what statistics will tell us is it's more likely for you to be of a certain kind of view, ethically speaking, pro-choice, any number of other things. And this is all because of the experience that one has in college. And so the idea here up front is, okay, you say you want to go to college, but let's walk through and make sure that's exactly what you want to do. Having done that then, okay, fine, that's what you want to do. You don't want to join the military. You don't want to become a tradesman. You don't want to do this or that. You're going to college. Now we want to step through those things or walk through those things that will help you with your college experience. So I break those things, and they can be broken up into any number of pieces, but I just break them up into the two categories, which is the category of living and the category of learning. Hmm. Makes it easy, makes it quite memorable, at least to me, since I have to talk. And hopefully it's easy for the students then to understand and engage with what we're talking about here.
Now, I imagine the first thing that they're thinking about is their living. What's their life going to be like when they go to college?
Indeed.
So what kind of things do you cover in the living portion of your time with them? What kind of topics or questions do you explore?
Well, on the living side, you know, it's really going to be all of those things outside of the classroom experience. And so right off the bat, it's going to be, you know, living. Where are you going to live? For many people, many universities actually are going to require that you live in the dorms at least for your first year. And while that's quite good in a lot of ways, it's, you know, food is generally going to be provided there because of cafeteria. You know, obviously it's going to be closer to campus because you're living on campus. There are a lot of benefits. There are also a lot of difficulties when you get into the dorm system in that dorms are where, say, universities begin to develop and promote a particular kind of a culture that goes with the university. Now, in some cases, that's perfectly fine and is good. It's a way of making friends. You get to know the place. You get special seats at the football game or the basketball game. That's all quite good. But there are other things that Christians are concerned with in particular. And being secular institutions, they're going to have different ways of looking at things like homosexuality, abortion, any number of other things.
Well, and now you have the whole transgendered bathroom issue that's going to come up soon.
Definitely so. It's already coming up. It's definitely already coming up. And so, again, it's one thing to go, and in some cases, maybe that's the best solution to your issue, and that's where you should go. But if you're going to do that, you have to be aware before you get there of what the possibilities are. There was a student here at Rice a number of years ago who was a member of this congregation, and he was put into a room just because of what you bring up with a student who happened to be homosexual. Now, this person was quite strident in his homosexuality, and the student just simply asked the RA, is there any way that I could switch? And the position of the university was this would be tantamount to a person wanting to switch because of ethnicity. So you didn't like your roommate because he was African-American or something along those lines. And so they just told him, look, no, that's your roommate. That's the way it is. You've got two options. You can either live there or you can get out. And so he got out. And in the end, that's what he had to do. He, in fact, left the university entirely and went to another university to pursue his degree.
Well, that blows my mind. Just the mere thought of, hey, I'm a little uncomfortable, you know, on a just a basic human level of sitting there going, you know, if my roommate's a homosexual and he likes guys and I'm a guy,
right?
This is a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of what happened. So. Again, it's just being mindful and being aware of what you're getting into when it comes to a living situation. Now, that's going to be true, of course, when you get into an apartment, any number of other places. One other living circumstance that would be worth thinking about before showing up and getting engaged is going to be the Greek system, fraternities and sororities. Because there it's not just renting a room, finding a place that's near campus. But there are other kinds of responsibilities and other kinds of things that go along with pledging in the Greek system, hence the name, that could be of concern. And so that's another thing that we would talk about is, you know, apartment living, dorm living, And then fraternities and sororities, you know, where are you going to live? And if in the case of fraternities and sororities, you're really going to be concerned with the kinds of rites they're going to make you go through in order to become a member of the fraternity or the sorority.
And this kind of gets us to the whole question of, you know, we kind of have a joining culture where on Facebook or whatever, you like a certain page, and there's so many things to get involved in on a college campus, all sorts of clubs.
Right.
You know, do you cover those types of things too?
Oh, definitely so. Just for the reasons you mentioned, I think the rule of thumb that we used to throw around among campus ministry people in the Missouri Synod is don't do anything for 4 to 6 weeks. You know, get into your classes, get into the rhythm of what it takes to get up in the morning, get ready for school, go to class, study, take exams, do all those kinds of things, and then begin to think about what you're going to add to that in terms of clubs and other kinds of social outlets. And so we definitely talk about those kinds of things, because there at the beginning, you're really kind of growing into what it is to be a college student. And sometimes people that you meet at the very beginning have a way of impacting that growth. You know, this is what you do because you're part of this club. This is what you do because you're part of that club. And so first get set as a person, first get set with your class schedule, God willing, first get set with a local congregation or local campus ministry, and then begin to fold in the other things that add flavor and depth and fun, let's just say, also to your college experience. So we definitely talk about things like that.
Oh, absolutely. And as you're saying, it's important for all of you students out there to realize that there's a stewardship of time involved here too, and you just don't know how you're going to react to being away from home, the new schedule. Are you going to be having work study? Are you involved in athletic? There's all sorts of things. You know, and the last thing we want you to do is to get out there and not have time to do something like go to church, which is, of course, the most important thing you can do at school.
Definitely so.
So you talk about living. What kind of things do you talk about in terms of learning? You mentioned living and learning. What about the learning side
right.
of things?
So the learning part of it, you really have to start thinking about, obviously, before you even get to the university. Now, there are a number of people who come in undeclared, but most people will declare one way or the other for a major. And you really have to think about, you know, in the big picture, what it is you think you want to do. That's obvious for a major. But, you know, you also have to think about, hey, I want to pursue this particular kind of a major. And how is that going to impact my living, especially with regard to, say, the church? Suppose you're interested in a very specific kind of major, and five schools offer it. And those five schools happen to be 100 miles from a Missouri Synod congregation. You're going to want to consider in advance before you apply to the university, accept the offer, move to the place, you know, what kind of an impact this particular major is going to have on your life as you're there for 4 or 5 years. But in addition to that, even the major itself and what thing you're going to study, what kind of discipline you're going to study, that's quite important as well, in that there are some majors that are going to be easier for the Christian to navigate than others. Liberal arts these days, because of the impact of postmodernism, I would argue that Darwinism is way beyond biology now and affects everything. In that there is no, if it's all just material and there is nothing beyond the material world, the way you look at the world will be very, very different than, say, how a Christian looks at the world. And so becoming a liberal arts major is going to have a whole host of difficulties. As you face postmodernism, face certain kinds of ethical issues and that sort of thing in that world. Having said that, you're not delivered from problems, say in the STEM area, that is science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. It's just you'll have a different kind of problem to face, mainly biology and Darwinism, as you work out those majors. So the point here is you just have to be aware of in advance and think through the kinds of troubles that you're going to face with a particular major, and then use that information then to select a major.
Well, if I could add, you also want to be careful about being, I mean, every student thinks that they, I always used to laugh when I was a kid. Well, I didn't laugh. I'm not mocking students, but when they would show up at the orientation fairs in the summer, oh, I'm an incoming freshman. I'm going to be a double major. I don't know if I've ever seen, I mean, I think it's 3 point, the latest stats I've ever seen are, every college student changes their major like 3.2 times.
Right.
Now it might be a subtle little tweak, but but they do change it. So when you show up thinking you're going to be a double major, you have, do you think it's important for college students to be prepared that they might show up to a school, change their mind, and they don't want to get too specific in picking a school that only does one thing?
Oh, I think that's good advice. I started out as in the biological sciences, marine biology specifically, and ended up transferring out of that field into political science. And so I think you're right.
Well, I wanted to be an accountant. Then I took I took a 4-hour Monday night philosophy of accounting class. I didn't even make it through the first break. I changed my major right there. So I know how this goes.
And that is the benefit of going to a major university. I mean, not every college is going to be constructed in such a way, but if you go to a major university, you're going to have a number of majors to choose from. So that's definitely true. The other issue now goes beyond major, and that's just simply the intellectual challenges to the faith, broadly speaking, when you're on campus. Most major universities are going to be secular universities. I mean, there's Notre Dame, there's Baylor, there's a couple of major universities with Christian background. But even there, you're not going to be in the cradle of the faith there. You're going to face the same kinds of challenges you would face no matter what the university. And so the intellectual challenges are really what we'd call the worldview challenges. You know, when you begin with the fact that there is a God and God is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and there are physical laws and there are ethical laws that are important to the creation. So you have natural law, you have physical laws. And not to mention the sending of the Christ and all that, that means for us as Christians as well. Having those things in your mind cause you to think of the world in a particular way. When you don't have those things in mind, you have other things there, like how the world came to be. It was random chance, how you should conduct your life, well, what you might think the end or the purpose of life is. And in the case of materialism, there is no purpose. Mm-hmm. This is the nature of having a random chance beginning. Well, those are just two entirely different ways of looking at the world. And so as you sit in classes and as you hear lectures, when people hold to a worldview that's different from your own, they're going to present material, think through material, and here's where the rub is, grade on material, because the teacher has the power of the grade, grade on material with the agenda of, I shouldn't say agenda because I don't mean to make it sound so conspiratorial or bad, but, you know, they're teaching and the expectation is you're going to answer questions on exams according to what you've been taught, not your personal opinion. And so you have to be prepared for that, I think, in advance as well. Some students think, because of, say, how they've been taught the faith, that all of these places, by necessity, should be places for evangelism. You hold to a particular worldview, that person's opposing to it, so you need to evangelize them. Well, if you do that in the classroom, you just have to be aware in advance that your grades could suffer because of that. And so for a lot of students, there's a real kind of, I wouldn't say it's a crisis of faith, but it's a real thinking through of the faith. When you're in that biology class and the teacher's saying this is the way it is, you hold to something entirely different. And so now what do you do?
No, and it's not just biology. It could be it could be theater class. It could be a philosophy class. So
I agree with you entirely.
Yeah. Well, Pastor Pacey, we just have about a minute, about a minute left here. First of all, this sounds great. It's absolutely awesome that you, and I believe you had another pastor. Did you partner with another church in this?
Yeah, Pastor David Vanderhook, who is the assistant pastor at Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston as well. We do a number of youth things together, and so this is just another opportunity for us to try to get our students together and do something for the betterment of both groups.
And on the larger level, this is why we want to, you're really kind of doing pilot work for what maybe we can work together. And I hope to get you involved as well as others that might be doing similar things out there. So we can kind of build a program so that we can do these things around the country. And hopefully college, those that are preparing to college will have opportunities to go to college bound events down the line. Just about 30 seconds or so. Are there any last little thoughts that you might give to we're airing here in late August. Kids are going back to school. What's one maybe big tip that you'd like to leave with college students as they head off to college as they're college bound?
Yeah, I think the most important thing when you head off to college is to know who you are before you get there. And that is, you're a baptized Christian. Your sins have been entirely forgiven. You're a child of God, put in that place because of who Christ is. And so all the things you have before you, I hate to always put it in the negative. There's lots of positives that happen on campus. Learning is a positive. Interacting with other students, these are all positives. Growing in your faith are all positives. So, you know, think about it in those terms. You are somebody. You're not going there to become somebody different per se, although you'll learn a trade, you'll learn a vocation, you'll learn any number of things here that are related to your majors and your studies. But you are a person now going into an environment there and given an opportunity to study, to confess, to learn, to grow. And so in those 4 or 5 years, you know, take the maximum advantage of that. You know, be who Christ has made you by way of his blood, by way of his forgiveness. Don't shy away from those things, but at the same time, be smart.
Well, that's about all that we have time here for on the beautiful campus of LCMSU. We will see you again next week. College is tough, but it's not mission impossible either. You are a baptized child of God. And you're not alone. Remember, wherever you go to school, we look forward to having you join us here in the Student Union. Remember, college is tough. You need Jesus. He'll help.